Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Oh yeah, he's back. The crack of the bat, the ping of the crossbar, and the roar of the crowd. We cover everything you want to talk about. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, good morning, Canada. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show and Canadian sports fans around the world. It is Tuesday, October the 15th. Gobble, gobble. Thanksgiving's behind us.
Yes.
We are here in the bunker out in beautiful Western Canada, where it is a Vancouver kind of day, which I don't mind. Little rainy, little above zero. Wouldn't mind seeing the sun, mind you.
Yeah.
But we're getting the brand new week rolling here today. I'm Rod Peterson. He's Darren DuPont. If I'm liver, he's onions.
I hate onions.
I hate them. I hate onions and liver.
Okay.
But I don't hate you.
Oh.
Yeah. Real fun Tuesday show coming up for you today. Marshall Hamilton's here and in the bunker. He's Rough Riders, Stampeders, and Ticats alum. Got a lot of things to gnaw on week 18 of the CFL, but he's also a big NFL fan too, so we'll recap week 6. Coming up on the show today, Justin Dung from 3downnation.com, TSN Edmonton's Dustin Nielsen, and BC Lions great Travis Lule. Now, that's a lot of football, guys, and we're not going to stay 100% on football, but that's kind of the time of the year.
It is.
Right?
I know. You and Nielsen could probably go back and forth in the Oilers for
and
a while.
And we will. And trust me, we will. Which reminds me, by the way, show number 94 today. Anybody come to mind for you?
One.
Captain Canada?
Yeah, Captain Canada.
Ryan Smith, who the last time we talked to him, he was in Nashville. I assume he's still there, living there. Smitty, the former Moose Jaw Warrior. Ryan Smith, in honor of show number 94, we'll be recognizing number 94s today. Also, Dallas Cowboys and 49ers great Charles Haley, D. Lyman. Okay. Wild story about him. And Clark has just ruined the fun by saying Leafs legend Tyson Berry. Your daily obligatory Leafs jersey specification. Actually, Tyson Berry's been pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
For the Leafs, from what I've seen. And he goes on to say Sergei Berezin. Stop! Stop.
That was the first one that actually came to my mind.
Sergei Berezin. Well, he wasn't bad.
It was that group of late 90s, early 2000s Leafs that I kind of fell in love with when they actually were competitive.
That reminds me, the XFL draft is underway. And thank you, Nelson from Phoenix, writing in to inform us and the viewers and listeners of who's been drafted in this thing. It's ongoing right now. This is our special XFL draft coverage episode.
Yes.
KD Cannon drafted into the XFL by the Los Angeles Wildcats. I also heard Marquise Williams went in the 10th round, former Rider quarterback. The next one we thought he was going to be. I labeled him that, not the Riders. Didn't work out. The New York Guardians, is that the name, Clark? The Guardians.
Okay.
Who came up with that?
I don't know.
The New York Legal Guardians, sponsored by the New York Social Services System. Sports break. Steven Strasburg struck out 12 Cardinals batters and the Washington Nationals routed St. Louis 8-1 to take a 3-0 lead in the NLCS. The Nats are now one win away from the city of Washington's first World Series appearance in 86 years. You see the Expos hat? That's mine. And I busted it out for this Expos run. Only two guys in Canada seem excited about the me and Arash.
That's it.
You're not That's excited okay. from the Expos? It's okay. I just thought there'd be more people excited. The Edmonton Oilers' five-game win streak to start the season's come to an end. Patrick Kane and Alexander Nylander scored, and the Blackhawks beat the Oilers 3-1 in Chicago last night. Oilers veteran forward James Neal scored the NHL-leading eighth goal on the power play with 2:11 to go. And Mason Crosby nailed the 23-yard field goal as time expired, and the Green Bay Packers rallied past the Detroit Lions 23-22 on Monday Night Football. And that's a game that has had officiating dissected more than maybe ever.
Yeah.
Were you watching it?
I was.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to save the balance of the officiating discussion for when Marshall joins the bunker, because he's very well reasoned. He's got the great hot takes. And I got some other things I want to talk about. It was wonderful Thanksgiving for me. How was yours?
Oh, it was great. Yeah. I think we've got some photos that we pulled up.
One goes real well with what I'm about to talk about. We got to tell Clark, what do you want?
Well, yours first. I think yours was the first one.
Okay, that's the Peterson clan. So there you go. This is the first Thanksgiving without my mom and second without our dad. So that part sucked, but those are all Petersons, almost all Petersons in that photo right there. And I'll go down this road and then we can talk about yours. I had Thanksgiving with both sides, wife's side and mine. So I'm going to run down some quotes here. I'm not going to name any names to incriminate the guilty, but some of the questions. Are you going to Grey Cup is what somebody asked. And I don't know. I'm 50-50.
Yeah.
I'm okay with not going, but I understand how important it would be for this show to be there. I've been to 20, kind of ready to move on. But if this show's as big in the CFL as we hear that it is, we probably should be there.
Sure.
Another question. Do you do homework for this show? And remember, these people have known me since I was born. I watch sports. You guys probably watch more sports than I do. That's the extent of my homework. It's the best job.
Yeah.
But no, I don't do any more homework than that. You need more hockey on there. Will there be more hockey? That's what I got. I don't know, Clark. Will there be?
You come from a hockey family.
Came from a hockey family, yes. Well, yes and no. The big Rider fans too, of course. Yeah. But I think there'll be more hockey, but we're still in, and this is the meat of the football.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You need to wear blue. That's what they said.
Brings out your eyes.
They said blue fits in better on the set. And for our listeners today, Chargers football is what I'm wearing. Los Angeles Chargers. McAdoo needs to be fired. And I will just say this came from my wife's side, from somebody there. And then I just sat there and just twiddled my thumbs and looked at the ceiling. It's like, oh, what, you don't care anymore? Not really. I don't really. You can sit and rant and rave about who should be fired or who should be playing. Oh, Scrabbler's the best. Says who?
Your family's in Winnipeg too?
I know. Winnipeg's winning. They're surviving Chris Scrabbler. That's what they're doing. He's not leading them to any victories. So that's kind of what was the discussion Sunday and Monday with my family. But I do want to mention Winnipeg, and then we'll get to your photos and stories. But
sure.
They're all mad at me, or a lot are. Actually, this is how these stories all go together. My family said, why are you so popular in Winnipeg? It's the third highest viewed city for the Rod Peterson Show. And I said, popular might not be the correct term. I wouldn't say I'm popular in Winnipeg. They're not rolling out the red carpet if I came to visit, but they're all watching and listening.
Yeah.
If that means anything. And I don't know why, but I would suggest that we're giving them something that they don't normally get in Winnipeg at this time of day. And that's a lot of CFL talk and coverage, and of their Bombers.
Yeah.
But 20,000 and change showed up to watch the Bombers beat Montreal 35-24 on Saturday afternoon. It was a great game. And I just said, I understand there was a huge storm in Manitoba, and I don't know all the details of it. So if I'm uneducated on the severity of this storm, then that's on me. But I said for only 20,000 to be there in this biggest game of the year, and to use the storm, like 20,000 other people were able to show up. So what about the other 15,000 empty seats? And I know that pissed people off, but it reminded me of this. Marshall was talking about being in rural Saskatchewan. You were raised in rural Saskatchewan. It reminds me of this. When there was a blizzard and we were kids, and like, I mean, just dumps and dumps and dumps of snow coming down on a school night.
Yeah.
And you're looking out the window and you can't see across the yard. You know you're not going to school the next day. So me and my brothers would be playing hockey in the basement all night, playing cards, watching TV, and we're like, we got tomorrow off. Exactly. And then the next morning, mom's shaking you. You can wake up and smell bacon, and you look down, dad's got the 4x4 going, and I'm like, come on! We're going to school? You don't miss.
No.
And then you show up in school and all your country cousins are there.
All of
them. And who's not? The town kids. So my raised old school, I guess, whatever, but that's nothing's going to keep you away. Rain, snow, hail, sleet, you name it. You're going if you need to go.
Yes. And even if it's funny, even if, you know, school's canceled or the roads are bad or anything else, you know, it was never canceled. Hockey practice. The hockey game?
No.
That was never canceled. The things that matter, you find a way, no matter what.
No, and that reminds me, this is where times have changed. And I I get this. The Winnipeg Rifles canceled their road trip to Regina for the regular season-ending game against the Thunder. And we got talking with my brothers yesterday about road trips and the difference between Manitoba and Saskatchewan. In Manitoba, they swing a gate across the highway. It's closed.
Like, literally
closed. You're not getting through here. It's closed. In Saskatchewan, they say it's closed. But if you're stupid enough to venture out on it, you can.
Yeah.
Be our guest. They don't close the highways here. But then my brothers got going on. They watch the news far more than I do, that there were drifts 18 feet high and impassable. So it wasn't that the Winnipeg Rifles were soft, that they didn't come. They couldn't get here. But my mind started thinking about all those road trips. And you've been on several. Marshall's been on a ton.
Yeah.
Those poor drivers.
I know.
They made them drive. And they shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Looking back, they shouldn't have. You know, it's a safer world now, Rod. Well, that's probably better, but I can tell you some stories.
So, oh, yeah.
17 years in the Western Hockey League, going around those mountain cliffs, icy, the bus drivers. Like, those guys are still in therapy, I think, or they should be. Shouldn't have driven.
Down the Coquihalla in BC. Like, it's not.
Oh, then you got idiot junior hockey players in the back egging him on. He goes out to pass somebody, and they're like, oh, bussy, yeah. Well, he's got to impress the kids in the back of the bus. Like, oh, man, how did we survive?
Running on no sleep.
Oh, I know. There was one night coming out of Kamloops. Our driver, Blackie, was his name. He said, I'm done. We're not going any. Black ice, right? Where you hit the brakes and you're still sliding towards the cliff.
Yeah.
And just praying that the guardrail would stop. He's like, I'm done. Killed the lights, slept on the bus that night, and the bus, he just put his head down on the steering wheel.
I can't even.
This guy should have got danger pay.
Yeah.
So anyways, Tyler, Rod's rant for Bronco Plumbing and Heating. It's just life. It's not a rant. And by the way, last one. My aunt said, you know, if they'd put a camera on your dad 40 years ago, he'd have his own show, too. Like, that you're just your dad sitting there. And I said, what's hilarious about that is in Hamilton and Winnipeg and Edmonton, they're all saying, who is this guy? Because they've never known me before. Mm-hmm. And that he must be acting. This is a shtick. But the people that know me know they just put a camera on him full time.
Yeah, that's it.
That's this is me.
It's real.
Yeah. Take it or leave it. Your Thanksgiving?
Yeah, it was really, really good. I wanted to start with something completely un-Thanksgiving, but just something that popped up on Twitter yesterday. I think Clark's got the photo from, is it a guy in Moose Jaw that put the photo on?
Of the socks?
Of the socks. So, Clark, if you've got that photo.
They don't look like socks I'd care to wear.
No.
I used to wear them, not anymore.
They actually look nice and warm. They
look warm, yeah.
And those might be nice on the football sidelines. That's where I wear socks, on the football sidelines.
You should wear those, yeah.
For a long time. And I said, I replied to Ryan and I said, if those showed up at the studio, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
That might be. I don't like to turn away gifts. But I'm not out in the market for socks.
And the Warriors are certainly wanting to bestow a lot of gifts upon you.
I don't think that's happening. Not today. But on Friday, probably the greatest thing about Thanksgiving, I was invited to St. Teresa Elementary School.
Right, I saw that.
And so we got some photos of this. It was their inaugural turkey trot. Two of their teachers had put this on in front of the whole school. They had been doing heats, I guess, and qualifying all week at recess. And they brought everybody into the gym. They hooked me up with a mic and a turkey hat.
I love it.
And they had to put a balloon between their legs and do a lap around. And whoever got around without dropping the balloon won a turkey to take home for their family, a real Thanksgiving turkey. So you can just roll through these other couple of photos if you want, Clark. But it was so much fun. It was so loud in there. And there's some of the kids there. They all had different turkey names. And it was a really great way to kick off the Thanksgiving weekend and spend the afternoon. And so big thanks to everybody at St. Teresa, the elementary school here in Regina, and I hope they have me back because it was one of the most fun things to do, which made me want to ask you about the pie eating contest.
You know,
I saw that too, and I should have grabbed those photos.
I walked smack dab into a pumpkin pie eating contest at La Boldas High School on Friday afternoon right after the show. I had a meeting at La Boldas, home of the Golden Suns. I walk in and boom, these kids were having a pie eating contest. So it was just happenstance. So I, of course, pulled out my phone and videoed it and everything. So.
I thought you were going to say, so I pulled out my fork.
No, I didn't start eating it. Oh, but okay. They're like, who's this creep photoing, videoing all these high school kids? Well, it looked like they were having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So anyways, we'll get to the officiating. We'll get to the Week 18 CFL scores. Riders losing in Calgary, of course, 30-28. I'm dying for Marshall Hamilton's take on that. So much coming up. This has been the warm-up on the Rod Peterson Show, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital Ford Lincoln. We have over 800 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $19,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new vehicles and 1.9% on used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
Hi, I'm Joshua John Batista. I'm a staff radiation oncologist at the Alan Blair Cancer Center. CT simulators are essential for all modern radiation treatments. Before a patient can undergo the treatment planning process, the CT simulator is the first step. So it allows us to plan and deliver radiation treatments for thousands of patients.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us for Morning Coffee. Caliber Coffee. The brew this morning is Up and Autumn Blend. The tasting notes from Caliber Coffee say crisp and mellow with earthy pumpkin notes and a dry lemon finish. If you are a coffee aficionado, Caliber Coffee is the place to go and get your beans. I haven't even mentioned the Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll question yet, but I will in moments as we welcome Marshall Hamilton to the bunker. And we are really a CFL show. So week 18 in the CFL had a lot going on. Obviously, the Argos beat Ottawa 28-21 Friday at BMO, followed by Calgary knocking off the Riders 30-28 in the first place showdown at McMahon. Saturday doubleheader, Winnipeg over Montreal 35-24. That, I guess, clinched second for Montreal. They can't get first now. And then Edmonton beating BC 19-6. That was the last game of the week. Late Saturday afternoon, and Mike Riley breaks his wrist and is gone for the season, and the Lions subsequently signing Brandon Bridge. So says Justin Dunk of 3downnation.com. Last I looked, the Lions haven't officially announced it yet, but sounds like Brandon's going to Vancouver. So as we welcome Rough Riders, Ticats, Stampeders alum Marshall Hamilton to the bunker. Good day, Marshall.
Good day. Happy belated Thanksgiving.
Same to you. Lots to be thankful for, obviously.
Obviously.
Where do you want to start today?
Well, just random. I'm one of our texters or whatever you call it that wrote on the screens asked for our comments on Bo Levi Mitchell's halftime comments. And my comment off the air before, and I'll repeat it now, was I thought it was really childish and I think he should be fined for it. And for those of you that didn't see the clip, he was basically saying, if not saying outright, he was certainly implying that the referees were making calls against Calgary on purpose to favor the Saskatchewan Roughriders. And one, I didn't see it that way, and it's not because I'm a Saskatchewan Roughrider fan, it's because I'm an objective football viewer and former player. And I just thought even if it was true, it was unwarranted and certainly not something that the leader of a football team should say. And if I'm Randy Ambrosi in the league, I'm seriously looking at fining him for what he said, because he was implying that the league goes out of its way to favor one team over another, which I don't believe for one second.
Nor do I. And of course, a little further on that interview, because the Stampeders D-lineman Casher got kicked out of the game for twisting Cody Fajardo's ankle, which was very clearly shown on video. Yep. And Bo said they're doing the exact same thing to him.
I didn't see any evidence of that. Now, there's no doubt, you know, in the game of football, especially for other positions like running backs where you get to, you know, fall into piles with four, five, six, seven, eight people in it. Generally, quarterbacks, you know, when they're tackled, it's usually one or two people in it. And it's easier to see somebody doing something, you know, funky underneath the pile with a small pile than it is with a big pile. But I've watched every game that Bo Levi Mitchell's played. I have not seen anybody twisting his ankles. I certainly didn't see anybody doing that from Saskatchewan in the game this week. So, you know, I just think he was heated at the time and said some things that he probably regrets right now. And hopefully he regrets that because he gets lighter in the pocket later this week.
Yet on the flip side, you watch the same game. Ed Gainey gets right in the camera after a review, which the Riders came out on the wrong side of. It was the fumble. And Ed Gainey says, basically said, come on, CFL, you can't cheat us out of this blank. So he's accusing the CFL command center of cheating him. So here's the Riders, Ed Gainey, accusing the league of the exact same thing Bo Levi Mitchell was.
Yeah, and I think he should be fined for that
as
well.
Yeah, they both should, yeah.
I mean, I generally speaking, human nature is whenever there's a challenge, you know, one of the coaches throws a challenge flag and it goes up into the booth for a review, there is nobody on either team that will... Let's put it this way. Neither team's going to agree with whatever the call is. You're going to have one team says, well, that was obviously this, and the other one's going to say, well, it was obviously that. That's because that's your bias. That's the way you want it to go because that's the way that you want your momentum of your team to go. So whenever there's one of those things that doesn't go your way, I mean, the right thing to do is to say, listen, I don't agree with the call. You say it to yourself. But let's use that as fuel to play the next player the rest of this quarter. You don't do it by venting in front of a camera. And both fortunately and unfortunately, cameras are everywhere. And now more and more with mic'd up games and things like that, we're going to hear what people say. Well, you got to watch what you say. If you're saying something derogatory about the league, derogatory about your employer, you should be fined
now,
or disciplined.
And before I get to the poll question, because it relates to all of this, last night, Monday Night Football, here's a game where the officiating literally led to the outcome of the game, right? Lions D lineman Flowers gets called twice for illegal hands to the face, and video showed he didn't have his hands anywhere near the guy's face guard.
Well, he had it near, but he didn't have it on the
face guard. It wasn't the penalty that was called.
It looked like he was holding on to the jersey and the inside of the collar of the shoulder pad, and he was using that to kind of leverage himself. And it might have been pushing on the chin of the guard that was tackle that was covering him, but he wasn't touching the face mask. But I could see how the referee, without aid of review, would think that he was pushing on the face mask because the guy's head was being pushed back. But you know that may be one of those things where the commissioner of the league comes out within the next couple of days and says, we're going to look more closely at this. This either is allowed or this is not allowed. And if it's not allowed, it's going to be lumped in with all of the other calls that are, you know, hands to the face. Hands to the jaw is going to be the same as hands to the face. I'm not saying that that's what they'll do, but I'm sure they'll look at it and decide, here's how we're going to officiate this going forward.
No, and you know what? There will probably be a letter come out that says, we blew the call. Because that's what they do now. And I was listening to ESPN radio on the way in here. It was the Levitard show. And they said that just fuels the fire and gets the coaches even more upset. I think it's the highest level of integrity that the league will say, we screwed up. We're sorry.
I think it's the right thing to do.
It is the right thing to do. But the point is, and then people say, don't apologize. Just get better. Well, there's always going to be mistakes. Always, because it's humans. And this is what's led to my poll question. You're already disagreeing with me. I can tell.
No.
The Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll question is this. Is it fair to expect game officials to be perfect? And the reason I put that poll up was I tweeted this morning, coaches, players, fans, media, all expect officials to be perfect, yet they're nowhere perfect themselves. It's hypocritical for people to demand perfection when they can't achieve perfection. It's impossible because we're humans. All of a sudden, who's liking that on my Twitter feed? CFL officials, CFL head office officials. I see it their way. And the poll question is it fair to expect game officials to be perfect? 86% say no, it's not fair to expect that. And a lot of people are writing in saying, well, just be competent. Well, whose definition of competent are we going to talk about right now? There's going to be, even upon video review, Marshall, they sometimes get it wrong. And let's not go down the road that 10 different people can look at the same clip and see it 10 different ways. You know that yourself.
I, I, I know people are being critical of the referees, and I think they missed those two calls yesterday. But one, I don't think it's realistic to expect them to get everything right. And when I was shaking my head earlier when you were getting ready to throw your poll question out there is because I do believe the first step to improving is, one, admitting you're wrong. You know, so to send an apology out and saying we blew that call, I think is the right thing to do. And then you use that as an opportunity to learn from that mistake and try to avoid making it again in the future. But, you know, referees are human. I mean, there is no perfect human being. There has never been a perfect human being. And for those people that want to get religious and say, well, there was one, I would say that that person disobeyed his parents too.
And he
died.
So
there is no perfect human being ever been on this earth. So if we're expecting our referees to be perfect, I mean, that's unrealistic. The other thing I would comment on is I think the league, especially the NFL, more so than the Canadian League, is asking the people in their review booths to only overturn the obvious calls, not to try to, you know, second guess a referee who was right there on the field when they made the call. They're going to err on the side of whatever referee called is going to stand unless we see something that was obvious. And I think that's the right approach to do. I don't want to throw away video reviews, but I also don't want to blame every game on referees because very, very few games, and that one last night on Monday Night Football may be one of them, very few games are decided by referees.
Does happen, and we'll bring in our next guest to talk about that. I invite you to put your headphones on, Marshall. We go to Edmonton now, TSN 1260 Radio's Dustin Nielsen, and also from the CFL on TSN, same guy, Dustin Nielsen, joins us from the City of Champions. How are you, Dusty?
Well, as a Lions fan, it was hard for me just to sit here and not get in on that discussion you guys were having because you're right, Roddy. Like, you don't expect officials to be perfect. But when they called the second penalty on the same guy for the same infraction, and I was watching the game, obviously, I was thinking, oh, my God, we've got a chance to actually take this one from the Packers. I thought for sure they were going to call a hold. I played the radio call on my show this morning, and the Packers play-by-play guy was like, oh, there's a flag that's probably coming back for a holding call. And then they go and call another illegal face, hands to the face. It blew my mind. I was extremely frustrated. But to get it wrong twice and be wrong twice, you want to call it one time, even that happens. But to do the same thing again at another critical moment, it just – that seems sketchy to me. I wasn't happy.
Right, and so they blew it, and that's the point is it does happen. And if you weren't a Lions fan, you might not care, and I don't care. If I was a Lions fan, I'd probably be upset. But I also think, and you guys tell me if you think I'm wrong or right, but if a coach stands up and blames officials at the end of a game, like Dave Dickinson did after the Calgary-Montreal game, remember in double overtime in August on that very close call? If you just swallow your pride, don't say anything, karma will come back. As opposed and right the wrong somewhere down the line. I feel that way. Football gods, whatever you want to call it. Do you, or do you think coaches have a right to blow a gasket? Because I understand their jobs are on the line too.
Yeah, I think it's an emotional situation for these guys. I called that game, that wild game in Calgary, Montreal, and then I called the last Montreal-Calgary game in Montreal just a couple of weeks ago, and we had a chance to chat with Dickinson, you know, the day before with our sit-down interviews and stuff, and he was kind of like, yeah. You know, I probably shouldn't have said some of the things that I said. But when you're emotional and you're fired up and you feel like it's justified what you're saying, I kind of understand where you're coming from. I watched a post game with Matt Patricia and Matthew Stafford last night. And, you know, Stafford, talked about we're playing the Packers. We're not playing the officials. We settled for 5 field goals. We could have won that game in other fashion. And it depends, I think, on the way a game's finished. If you're going to take shots at the officials, how emotional you are. But very, very often, or not very often, do I think you see somebody, you know, double down on it. And 3 weeks later, when they talk about it, say, yeah, no, I stand by what I said. And I still think it was awful officiating. Like, you just don't see that happen very often.
No.
Yeah, Dustin, Marshall here. I'll comment. You guys are more hockey guys than I am, although I grew up playing hockey all my life. We know that it happens. We know that referees make makeup calls. They make a mistake, and guess what? Within 30 seconds, there's a penalty called against the other team that makes up for the first one. They know when they make a mistake. They don't need to put out a press release and say, yeah, I missed that call. They do the makeup call. And both coaches know it. All the players know it. I know it happens more in hockey than it does in football, but it happens in football too. Is that not your observation as well?
100%. You're right. They do make makeup calls. And I don't know where I come out on makeup calls, to be honest with you. I mean, if I'm If I'm linked into the game, if I'm tied into the game with one of my teams, then, you know, I guess I'd be happy to see the makeup call get called. But a lot of times when I'm just watching a random, you know, NHL game, and you're right, it happens a ton in hockey, or a National Football League game, it really frustrates me. I mean, just because you were wrong once doesn't mean you should, you know, almost be wrong again to make up a call. To me, you just kind of have to move on and live with your mistake, because it's like you guys said, I mean, officials aren't perfect. The frustrating part is that now that they put video review in place, and there's still some video review calls that blow my mind that they didn't get overturned, and it happens in all leagues. And I don't understand how you can get a second and third look at this thing and have people in place who are supposed to make those decisions. I mean, that's their job. They're supposed to be the sober second thought, and some of them can't even get it right. And that's extremely frustrating. Like, what's the point of having video review if you're going to review it and the call still seems incorrect to everybody? That doesn't make sense. And that happens more often than it should.
NFC Championship game last year, Rams Saints. Yeah. There's no better example of that. The officiating will be the theme today on this program, Dustin, but I don't want to stay there with you for all of it. So Edmonton, BC, Saturday night, Mike Riley's loss for the year. I had friends at the game that they were cheering for the Eskimos. They said it was very quiet in this stadium. Did you feel that, and how did it feel? Like, that was a Super Bowl for both teams, man. Edmonton clinched. I'd be shocked if it was not a vibe in the Commonwealth Stadium.
Yeah, there's been a little bit of a buzzkill. I wasn't at the game. I was calling a Golden Bear. I was calling the Golden Bears and Huskies hockey game, actually, on Saturday night. But I watched the first – well, I watched the whole game eventually, but I watched the first quarter, I guess, before I started turning my attention to the university hockey game. And look, there's a buzzkill in this market right now with the Edmonton Eskimos, and it's not fair to the team. It's not fair to the guys – who are still playing on the field there. But when you've lost Trevor Harris and Logan Kilgore played through a nasty, nasty gash on his tongue in that game. But I mean, I think there's a lot of people in this market that still, so actually I saw this morning on text messages into my show who said, if Mike Riley stays healthy in that game, the Eskimos probably don't win. And then the Lions are that much closer to maybe pulling off, you know, a miraculous climb back into the postseason. So there's not a lot of positivity around this Eskimos group right now from their fan base. Which is kind of a shame, because I like Logan Kilgore. I mean, on the field, the results have been hit and miss, but he's a really good dude. I want him to have success. And, you know, success for him comes in the form of any win that they can get while Trevor Harris is out of the lineup. But I could understand why there'd be a little bit of a, you know, subdued atmosphere at Commonwealth on Saturday night, and you know, hopefully. You know, that might be able to change here. They're on a bye this week, and then obviously they've got the two games against the Riders still to come. And I mean, if the crowd's not going for a Riders Eskimos game, then at that point I'd be a little bit concerned.
Dustin, what's your take on Trevor Harris? I know they got a bye this week, and then they play back to back against Saskatchewan. Now, my thinking is that he's going to be back at some point. He's either going to be back for the West or the Eastern semifinal in Montreal, or he's going to be back for one or both of the games against Saskatchewan. Now, if you want him to play a tune-up game before the playoffs, because these are going to be meaningless games, if you want him to play a tune-up game, do you really want him to play the tune-up game the second of those two games, which is in Saskatchewan, when it's cold in front of the Rider Nation? Or do you want to have him play both of those games or neither of those games? What's your take on that situation?
Oh, man, I don't know. It was funny, because when it looked like he was going to be coming back, I was down at practice that week, and I was standing right next to him, and I kind of got the sense that he was really close to returning. That was a few weeks ago now. And then obviously they've been very, you know, taking a lot of precaution with him as he tries to get back to be able to throw football the way that he needs to. And to be honest with you, I don't know if we see him in either of the two games against the Riders. And you're right. I don't think you want him coming in cold, especially against a Montreal team at home. And like I said, I was out there, and the atmosphere in Montreal right now is through the roof. At least it was for that game against the Stampeders. So I'm assuming for a playoff game against the Eskimos, it definitely will be as well. But from an Eskimos perspective, I mean, nothing's really going to change for them. I mean, they're heading over to Montreal to take on the Montreal Alouettes. Do you need Trevor Harris to get out there and get a few reps in prior to that? In a perfect world, yes, but I don't know if they're going to be in that situation. So it'll be interesting to see what happens here coming out of this bye week, if that's going to be enough time for him. Because, look, the Eskimos are not the team that they were to start the season. But they are a much better team when Trevor Harris is at quarterback over Logan Kilgore. So if the Eskimos go out to Montreal without Logan, without Trevor Harris, I don't like their chances at all to beat the Alouettes. If If they go out there with Trevor Harris, I'm not sure. I like their chances still to win that game, but I like their chances a lot better to possibly win that game. So I don't know if we're going to see them at all against the Riders.
Two last ones. I thought that the Eskimos might at least try to pick up James Franklin at the trade deadline. It doesn't look like they even considered it. Was I all wet with that assumption or prediction?
Well, you know, we're pretty excited here, Nem. We always liked James Franklin when he was here. And we always thought, oh, you know, Mike Riley's getting up there in age. Maybe James Franklin's the next guy. It could have been something that they could have considered. But does that mean we should lead into the fact that, okay, well, if they didn't go out and bring in anybody to help Logan Kilgore, who wasn't even playing football last year, is Trevor Harris going to be back here at some point for them in the near future? So maybe we can read into that, and maybe that means we do get to see him a little bit against the Riders. Because, I mean, I don't think it would have cost much to pull the trigger on a deal to bring Franklin in, for sure.
Not at all. They were giving him away, and there were no takers. Yeah. So, and lastly, maybe I read this wrong, just to talk about the banner over your shoulder there. Yeah. Is it true the Oilers, until this year, have never swept the tri-state area, New Jersey, New York, like they just did? I have a tough time believing that all those great 80s Oilers teams never did that. Is that true?
I thought I saw that on Twitter as well. I thought I saw that today, that said for the first time, sweep through the three New York states. Yeah, I think I saw the exact same thing, which is pretty incredible. With that being said, I mean, they lose one game to Chicago, and the people texting into my show today were like, you know, if they lose their next seven, they're only going to be 5-6-1 or whatever, and they're going to be a non-playoff team again. I'm like, calm down, everybody. Like, but at the same time, Roddy, how about this? Somebody started a Facebook group, like a Facebook meeting on June 20th for a Stanley Cup parade here in Edmonton, and 1,700 people have already said they'll be attending it.
Try 1,701.
Kind of crazy to me.
1,701. I'm coming. I'm in. I know.
It'll be great if it happens, but we're jumping the gun.
Very similar to Rider fans and a lot of Leaf fans and all the rest. But Dusty, always fun, my friend. We'll let you do your thing today, and we'll catch up down the road. Very much enjoying following your work.
Hey, thanks a lot, Roddy. Thanks for having me, man.
All right, CFL on TSN's Dustin Nielsen and TSN 1260 Edmonton, where you can catch him each morning with Lieutenant Eric. We'll be right back. Marshall Hamilton and me in the bunker. Coming up today, Travis Lule and Justin Dunk as well. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Just because you're out in the country, surrounded by fields of green, living sky sunrises and sunsets, shouldn't limit you from connecting to the world. Fast, reliable, and affordable internet for rural Saskatchewan. SaskTel Fusion from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Invite the whole world in. Sign up for SaskTel Fusion today for just $99.99, including basic install. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s. all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, Little Red's Market Cafe in Mortlock, Saskatchewan, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us for coffee on this Tuesday morning. Coming to you from the bunker on episode number 94. Got a few other number 94s to join our crew of Ryan Smith and Charles Haley. Brady in Saskatoon wrote in an avalanche of players, and that includes Frank Beltre and DeMarcus Ware. It's a couple more. You'd think I'd know that as a Cowboys fan. Let's not talk about week six in the NFL, right, dupes? Well, we will a little later on. Marshall's with me here in the bunker. Coming up, as we mentioned, Justin Duncan, Travis Lule. To the Prairie Mobile text line this morning at 306-840-8777. That's 840-8777, presented by Prairie Mobile Communications, with locations across the prairies and your authorized SaskTel Mobility dealer. Couple things I'm going to read, and then Marshall, if any of them gravitate to you, pick up on them, please. From Metal Shingle Guy. Said there's discipline issues on this team with Gainey, Marshall, McCray, Pirafoy, and Adam. They all talk too much. Do your job and shut up. That's from Metal Shingle Guy. From Dan in Saskatoon. Morning, boys. Hey, dupes. I bet Marcus Mariota wishes there was a blizzard in Denver on Sunday. How about those 5-0 49ers? That's from Dan in Saskatoon. From Leonard. Three reasons why we lost that football game. Number one, missed a field goal. Number two, penalties by Ed Gainey. According to TSN, 45 yards of a penalty on that touchdown drive. Third reason, defense was not aggressive enough. Calgary quarterback had too much time to throw the ball. That's from Leonard. I could go on. And I will with one more. Anonymous texter writes in, no CFL games on Thanksgiving Day. A 60-year tradition ends. Can we expect a Friday night Grey Cup soon? That's from Anonymous texter. And Three Down Nation posted a column over the last 24 hours saying, no Thanksgiving Day games makes the CFL turkeys. So if Three Down wants to know why the commissioner's office isn't really fans of Three Down, that's part of the reason right there.
I agree with that comment, though. I'll comment on two of those. The first one, I think having a Thanksgiving Day game on Canadian Thanksgiving makes a lot of sense. I mean, if you think you're competing against the NFL on Sundays, you're right. But you're not competing in an afternoon on Monday of Canadian Thanksgiving with the NFL. So there should have been a game or two played, in my opinion, on that Monday. The second one, I think, was your first one that commented on discipline issues or penalty issues with some of the Saskatchewan Roughriders. And he named off, I think, five players. And it's sort of unique to me that they were all defensive backs. He didn't name anybody on the offense at all, and he didn't name anybody other than defensive backs. And I think for the most part, he's there's some truth to what he's saying, but I think he's probably gone a little bit too far. But, you know, by contrast, I watched the BC Lion game against Edmonton. And for those of us that watched that game, Daron Carter was Daron Carter just being an idiot. And Glenn Suter, to his credit, was calling him out, saying that we got to get rid of that from our game, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it just made me really glad that we don't have Daron Carter anymore. But there were still some people doing some Daron Carter-like things. And those defensive backs that he mentioned in his text, were some of them. So I think if the Riders can clean that up, I still think, and I'll get into my game predictions on In the Huddle, you know, each week over the next 3 weeks, but I think the Riders have a really good chance to run the table. Mm-hmm. You know, because they're playing against a BC Lion team that looks like all the air has been taken out of that balloon. And they're playing against an Edmonton team that might be playing with their backup quarterback for one of those two or maybe both of those games. And the Edmonton games don't mean anything to the Edmonton Eskimos, but they mean a lot to the Saskatchewan Roughriders. And I think the Calgary Stampeders are the best team in the Western Conference, but it's going to be really tough for them to win back-to-back against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. So I think if the Riders can win out and Winnipeg wins one of those two games against Calgary, Saskatchewan still has a chance for first place. So it doesn't mean I think they're the best team in the Western Conference. I don't, but I still like their chances of being in the Western Final. And once you're there, once you're at the dance, anybody can win it. So those are my comments on those texts that came in.
Mm-hmm. Well, pause on that from the Facebook wall. Nashville in Saskatoon says, "Hey, Marshall, get a hold of me somehow. I got your money." And that is, that's integrity right there. You guys had a bet way back before the season began.
Yes. And can I comment on that one? Because I really appreciate Nashville reaching out to me, and it's been fun going back and forth with him all year on the bet. And for those of you that don't know what that was about, I predicted on the first show of the season that Hamilton would win first place in the East. And I challenged anybody out there that disagreed with me to bet me, and Nashville stepped up. But Nashville, I don't want the $100, but I want you to pay it forward. So I want you to find somebody that's less fortunate, and I want you to give it to them. Don't say where it came from. Just pay it forward, and maybe we'll have a bet next year.
Making miracles happen here. The miracle on 84th Street. Did you hear the applause from here, these guys? Very nice of you, Marshall. By the way, speaking of giving, here's a gift card to Cora. Breakfast place for you and your lovely wife, by the way, for your appearance today. I thought I would throw that in.
Thank you very much.
And actually,
thank you, Cora.
Clark, somebody wrote in and said we picked somebody for on Friday to go to Cora. Did you get a hold of that person?
Yeah.
You did. It's all handled. Okay, great. So with 3 weeks to go in the regular season, I wrote in my column, I guess, yesterday that there's not a lot of intrigue left in the CFL because all the playoff spots have been sewn up. But maybe there is. I mean, if the Riders finish with 13 wins, which would be them running the table, that's an improvement over, you know, what Chris Jones did last year in 12 wins. And please tell me how you don't vote for Craig Dickinson for Coach of the Year or Jeremy O'Day for GM of the Year or both. But I also, at least out of the conference, at least out of the West, I mean, in the East, with what's happened in Hamilton and what's happened in Montreal, those are pretty amazing things too. So I guess that's what I'm watching for over the next 3 weeks, because there's really nothing in the West, Marshall, that I think that's as intriguing as that, nor the East, really.
No, I think I said this maybe a couple of times over the last 4 or 5 weeks. I think the three candidates for Coach of the Year, not in this order, are Craig Dickinson from Saskatchewan, Kahari Jones in Montreal, and Orlando Steinauer in Hamilton. And each of them for different reasons, but clearly in my mind, Craig Dickinson is the West nominee, if there was such a thing, for the Coach of the Year. But I predicted pretty early on that I thought that this might be the first time in history that an interim coach is Coach of the Year in the Canadian Football League. And the way that Kahari Jones has turned around that Montreal franchise that I called a dumpster fire probably for the last couple of years under Cavis Reed. And Orlando Steinauer, although he inherited a much, much better team than Kahari Jones did, he's done a masterful job with that team as well. I mean, keep in mind, that's a team that's also been playing with their backup quarterback for the entire year. And, you know, I think their offensive coordinator, name's escaping me, is done a wonderful job with that offense. Any one of those three choices would be a great choice this year.
Yeah, and it's funny that you mention Kahari being interim coach, which he still has that tag, and he probably would be the first person to win Coach of the Year under that tag. It reminds me a little bit of the Stanley Cup Finals last year. Was Game 6 was in St. Louis? Yeah, it was. And they introduced the head coach, Craig Berube, the public address announcer at what used to be the Savas Center or Keel Center. I don't know what they call it now, but... And the Blues interim head coach, Craig Berube. And I'm like, come on! He took his team from last place to game six of the Stanley Cup Final, and you're calling him interim? And of course, they removed that tag shortly into the offseason. Kahari might still be interim because they got no GM.
No owners. Although I think that's coming soon.
That's the rumor.
From what the rumor. So maybe we can ask Justin Dunk that one.
Yeah. Actually, get your question. Well, coming up in hour two from 3downnation.com. But I'll tell you what, if Kahari Jones isn't coaching in Montreal next season, he's probably writing his ticket to wherever he wants to coach.
Teams in the league are going to want him.
Right. Has he not proven his mettle as a head coach?
Absolutely. And not just as a, you know, an X's and O's guy. He's demonstrated leadership. He's demonstrated a way to kind of bring the fun back to that football team, to get them playing together. I mean, you think of some of the antics. I mentioned Ron Carter's name earlier in the program. You know, you just don't see that from a Montreal player. And they're taking on the character, as most teams do, of their head coach. And he's done a masterful job. I mean, if I had to pick between those three, they're all good choices, but I'd probably pick Kahari Jones.
Well, Michael, watching in Winnipeg this morning, Michael Girl says, hi, guys. Who do you see being the Eastern nominee for Coach of the Year? You can make a legit case for both Jones and Steinauer. So I guess we kind of just covered that. Nelson from Phoenix says, wouldn't look at Kahari as an interim coach anymore. He's gone out and earned that spot this season for sure, if not possibly a job in Toronto for him. And I like the segue you provide, Nelson, because we haven't had you on, Marshall, since last week's ground shaking news that Jim Popp was fired as general manager of the Argos. Corey Chamberlain survives for now. I have a feeling that he will be back next year, depending what Pinball wants, but I could see those two working well together. I know them both very well. I could see that working. And John Murphy being named to the management group. I don't know if it's going to matter what happens over the next four games for the Argos. They've already been mathematically eliminated. Corey Chamberlain did say, however, that he would not accept a demotion to defensive coordinator only. It's head coach or bust, which I think is his right. I really do. Other coaches have done the same thing. But again, it's Corey's right to say no.
But who asked them that question?
The media. Who it was, I don't know. But
yeah. So if it's the media asking that question, I don't read too much into it. But if the head, but if the general manager of Pinball Clemens is asking them that question, then if I'm Chamberlain, I'm going, he already doesn't have full confidence in me right now. This is a train that's going the wrong direction. It's only a matter of time before it goes off the rails. So. I don't know if I have a prediction on whether Chamberlain's going to be come back next year or not, but I'll make another bet for Nashville or anybody else out there that wants to bet me. Kahari Jones will be a head coach in the Canadian Football League next year, and if it isn't with Montreal, it'll be with somebody.
Yeah, it's got to be Montreal, though, doesn't it? I mean, I know we don't know. I know they don't have owners, and then they're going to name a GM, but how do you not bring back Kahari Jones? Do you see what's going on in Montreal?
Well, I do, and hopefully the new owners do as well.
Yeah, well, you know, we had the commissioner on here a couple weeks ago, and I'm somewhat dismayed in this. It sounds like those two Lenkov brothers, one an entertainment agent, and the other, what's the other one, Darren? I don't know what they are. An accountant or something? They're going to buy the Alouettes. I would have liked to have seen the Montreal Canadiens buy them, just for financial stability more than anything, because I'll tell you something, folks. The word in the CFL is that the financial picture is very grim for a lot of teams, okay? And I just think stability with owner, you're never going to hear about the Calgary folding. You're never going to hear about the Argos folding when MLSE owns them. I would have liked to have seen the Vancouver Canucks buy the BC Lions. Now, David Bradley's got more money than God. He's not going anywhere, but you get my point.
Yep.
These Lenkov brothers, it annoyed me a little bit that they were out on the field tossing the football back and forth with the players in warmups, and they say, oh, we just like being around the guys.
What scares me about...
Super fans.
And I don't know the Lenkov brothers from the Smith brothers, but what scares me about that is because it's private, and I know that's sort of where you're going with the Montreal Canadiens being, you know, a much more established, very, very successful franchise, is, you know, you think back to McNall and Gretzky, et cetera, when they owned the Argos... yeah, they, I think they won a Grey Cup under that. But before long, that thing just all fizzled right out. McNall's in jail.
Yeah.
You know, Gretzky's still got lots of money. But, it, you know, when you have private owners, the impression I get is sort of they get in quick, get out quick. And that's not what the Canadian Football League needs. The Canadian Football League's stability, as you said. They have it in franchises like Saskatchewan because it's a community-owned franchise. Yet they have it in the franchises that you mentioned for the reasons you mentioned. It would be nice to see that in Montreal as well.
Couple comments here before we go to break. And this is just making my heart sing. We were thinking of slogans last week. Here's one, Dupes. The Rod Peterson Show, where Stampeders fans come to talk. What do you think? Because we got Ryan Ballantyne here. He's the Stampeders podcaster, blogger with a big, long red beard from, Big Brother Canada. He says, I'd vote Kahari for Coach of the Year, but it should be Dave Dickinson for the Western nominee. And Ryan goes on to say, based on coaching caps, you can't fire anyone else, I don't think. So Kahari stays in Montreal. Well, Cal Murphy taught me this in the 90s, if I may. These rules are more guidelines. I don't think that's changed. So if it's better for some owners to get rid of a coach they don't want, they, I think, will look the other way. I don't think that's changed from 1990s CFL. And I'm saying we might be closer to 1990s CFL than you think. If the financial picture of what I hear is true, and I have no reason to think that it's not, they'll do whatever it takes. And then when I say Stampeders fans come here to talk, Doug Cameron in Calgary says, I concur, Ryan. Lose 11 of 24 starters from the Grey Cup roster and Bo's out for 7 weeks and we're still in first place. So, as the judge says, I'll allow it. Stampeders fans conversing on our Facebook wall. Mind-blowing.
He certainly hasn't done a bad job this year. But I think, generally speaking, Coach of the Year is awarded to somebody that's taken a poor or a mediocre franchise and turned them into a much better franchise. And you can certainly say that about the three names that we've mentioned. I don't think Dave Dickinson has turned them into a better franchise. He's just done more with less this year than he has had to in the past. I would disagree with one of our texters in there, though. I don't think firing a coach at the end of the year has the impact on the salary cap that firing a coach in the middle of the year does. So I think at the end of the year, that's when the deck gets shuffled, new salary cap year starts, and you start counting with the 10 coaches you got or whatever the number is, as opposed to some of the coaches. I mean, firing a coach in the middle of the year, you're going to pay them the rest of the year, and you're going to have to start paying whoever the new coach is as well. That gets you in salary trouble. But at the end of the year, I think at the end of the year, the bets are off.
In hour two, BC Lions great Travis Lule and Three Down Nation's Justin Dunk. Don't go anywhere, anybody. We'll be right back after this top hour break. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcasts at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital GMC. We have over 1,000 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $17,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
One of the things that I'm also running into lately is people who have been declined for marijuana use in the past.
Brian Baker with youareinsurable.ca.
Insurers will decline you for more than just your health. They'll decline you for your lifestyle. And in the past, any type of marijuana use over 2 grams a week is going to send red flags up to traditional insurers, because for those people who are suffering from chronic pain, other illnesses such as Crohn's colitis or depression for that matter that have used marijuana as a treatment, they're probably using more than a couple of grams a week. Now we have legalized marijuana in the country, but don't expect the traditional insurers to have made that change to their underwriting policy, but I do have an insurer that will take care of the client.
If you've been declined due to cannabis, you are still insurable. Don't wait. Talk to Brian today. Brian specializes in finding critical illness, life, and disability insurance for hard-to-insure people just like you. Book your no-cost, confidential, risk-free consultation at urinsurable.ca.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends. For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.